And so now we're moving in the age of Aquarius, which is governed by mind. Because this astral has been fed so strongly, because Pisces is the most powerful sign governing the emotions. So it fed a lot of emotional energy over the past 2,000 years into humankind. So humankind is charged with emotional energy, and now we're moving in the age of Aquarius, which is charged with mental energy. So we have this powerful conflict of mind arguing with emotion. People are saying, this makes sense, arguing with people that say, this is what I want, and this is what I need, and this is what I want, therefore I deserve it. And the other guy is saying, well, we can't give you everything you want. If you want things, you have to figure out a logical way that you can get it, you know, not that somebody's going to give it to you. And so we have these conflicts of the age of Aquarius against the age of Pisces, and mind against the emotions. So we have this powerful conflict, which is coming to an head right as we speak here.
It's like, yeah, the battle of the Bible thumpers versus the New Agers.
Yeah, well,
traditionalists versus the enlightened thinkers, what do they call themselves?
Well, the trouble is, a lot of the New Agers are also astral. You know, a lot of the New Agers are like the Bible thumpers with a different vocabulary. You know, for instance, the Bible thumpers will preach, oh man, we're approaching the apocalypse and we have to all prepare. Well, the New Agers are saying, oh man, we're going to have the end of the world in 2012 because the Mayans predict this, and the UFOs are going to come down and save us, you know. So same message, just different vocabulary, you know. So they're both astral messages. You know, there's only a handful of people that are really truly polarized in the plane of the mind. And as DK says, the plane of the mind is a plane on which the masters can be found. Yet the New Agers all teach, oh, it's in the heart. When most New Agers say heart, they really mean the emotions. When they feel strongly emotionally about something, they call it heart. But that's not what heart is. Heart, that's the solar plexus. The solar plexus governs the emotional, regular emotional feelings. The romantic energy, the desire energy, all governed by the solar plexus. But the heart is different than the solar plexus. How? What's different about the heart energies?
I think I heard somebody say one time that the heart that somebody spoke of was the heart of hearts, or the internal heart, or the true heart, the inside heart. Like, mm-hmm. I love you with all of my heart, heart.
Okay. The heart energies are unselfish. The emotional energies are selfish. When the person governed by the solar plexus falls in love, he falls in love with somebody, he's looking for somebody that will fulfill his needs. When the person with the heart energy falls in love, he doesn't think that way. He sees it as a two-way thing. Well, yeah, she fulfills some of my needs. That's great. My solar plexus needs satisfied. I'm happy about that. But I am also going to fulfill her needs, you know. And this is the heart. The heart is governed service, and it has two sets of petals. 12 petals are in the heart chakra, and they unfold one by one. And as they unfold one by one, we have new energies circulating in our system. And they're called love, wisdom. 6 of the petals govern pure love, pure spiritual, unselfish love, and 6 of the petals govern wisdom. Now, you usually associate wisdom with the mind. But the thing that's interesting is, in the heart chakra, we have the 12 petals of the heart. But in the crown chakra, you also have a reflection of the heart center in the head. So the head and the heart are very closely connected. This is why when you develop the power of mind, you stimulate the power of the real heart energies at the same time. and you develop the unselfish love. Now, the people that are centered in the solar plexus, they think they're very much in the hearts, and, you know, they may draw hearts around and talk about heart a lot. But a lot of these guys are in tremendous illusion. They can't see through their own desire. And everything they get is by their desire. If they're a Christian and they pray, they will get an answer according to their desire. If they say, oh, I want to marry so-and-so, God, is this the one? And, oh, God has just told me she is the one. You know, and he got that answer because he wanted that to be true. Oh, shall I take this job? And ask God in a prayer, oh, God confirmed I need to take this job. Well, he wants that job, therefore he got the answer that he wanted. He's operating off solar plexus energy. But there's four, we won't go a lot in this, but about the mind. The mind, the astral, and the physical are called the three worlds of form. It's because form is associated with all these.
Can you say that again?
The mind, the astral, and the physical are called the three worlds of form. Form is associated with all these three worlds. Above this is called the formless worlds. Now, the formless worlds is, the DK calls these the formless worlds, and when I first read about it, I was trying to visualize what a formless world is, but as I contemplated, and he doesn't really explain it very much, but as I contemplated, the truth of it came to me is that there is form in the formless worlds, but you don't live in form. For instance, the next step up is the Buddhaic world, which is a conduit world. And then above that is the Atmic. And in the Atmic is the world of ideas. So the life's consciousnesses that live there concentrate on developing and manipulating ideas and then sending them down to us. Okay, it's sent down to us through the Buddhaic sphere. And that this is the sphere is like ideas are here, the mind is here, in between where the ideas reside. Almost an infinite number of ideas, just an unlimited number. And their new ideas are being created all the time. And they are sent down to us in the physical. And the mind has to create a channel between the mind and the Atmic world where the ideas are. And you create that channel by thinking. You think about, you put your mind in a state where you contemplate. And I've always said that the highest form of meditation is contemplation. Because contemplation takes you up to the world where the ideas are. And then when you contemplate, you get an idea and you get an aha moment. You get, ah, boy, that's a great idea. That's because all of a sudden you opened up, you connected with the sphere of the Buddhaic sphere, and it became a channel, and the channel was open, and the idea came down into your mind and registered there in your consciousness. Now, have you ever noticed that when you get an idea, you think, boy, I'm never going to forget this, and maybe the next day comes and you think, what was that? It came to me, and I should have written it down. I can't even remember what it was now. I've written a few songs in my life, and sometimes a new melody will come in my head from the Atmic. You know, that's where a melody would come from if you're a songwriter. And you think, oh, that's a great melody. No way I'm going to forget that. And then maybe an hour later, it's just gone forever. You know, but when you get these things, you have to really concentrate on registering them, or else you can lose them because they're so ephemeral. Because when you get something higher and it's planted on the mind, the plant doesn't register with your whole being yet. So you have to make a special attempt to make sure you understand it completely.
It only registers with your mind.
Right, with a higher part of your mind, actually. And so it's a little bit like a dream. You know, you wake up from a dream, and you think, that was an interesting dream. I'm going to revisit that dream later on. Then you get up, and after you eat breakfast, you think, what was that dream? I can't even remember what it was now. And it's a little bit like that. Yeah, Brian.
Are there any tips or tricks that you have when you're doing this to hold on to a thing? Sometimes it's thoughts. Sometimes it's an experience.
Yeah.
I have an experience, and I want to hold on to that, and I'm able to some degree.
Well, there's two things you can do. One, have a notebook handy, and just write down a sentence about it, and that sentence can trigger the whole thing. Or carry around a little tape recorder with you. If you get something particularly good, we'll speak into it. Or if you don't have anything available, and this is often the case with me, I'll be driving. Often happens to me when I'm driving down the road. For some reason, when I'm driving, my mind is kind of blank. and when your mind is blank, you're actually in the quite a receptive mode when your mind's blank. So sometimes I'll be driving down the road and something will hit me, an idea or a concept, and I think, I want to remember this. So I just have to make a point to go over and over it in my mind so I don't forget.
Yeah. I have used the recording device on
my
phone. The problem is when I go back and listen to what I think was a good idea at the time, 99.9% of it was trash.
Well, that's because you're smoking pot at the time. You're that time into the time again from smokers. Man, I was smoking away and I had these great ideas. And the next day, they just didn't seem great anymore. We find out about you, Brian.